You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. It's, you know, we've been here about 2 years. I don't know how long it's going to continue to be new. Everything's new and improved.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, I think we should make the topic of our show should be new and improved because so many things are changing. I've got Mike Arbeau from Precise Transmission. You probably think that is your last name at this point, eh?
It is sometimes.
Okay, we will talk about all the new and improved. Well, I don't know if I want to say improved yet. Okay, trannies are changing. There's no question about that. Whether they're getting better or not, we'll discuss. And we have a special guest in the studio today. His name is Derek Lalbahari. And I think I got that right, right?
Yep, you got it.
Derek is from Fix Auto in Downsview. It's called Fix Auto Downsview, correct?
That's correct.
Now, Fix is part of a large chain. There's a number of stores.
It's a franchise of body shops.
Okay, great. And What does that the whole franchise idea mean? I mean, is there warranties that are given that are?
It would be just like any other kind of like franchise, like a Home Depot or something. So if you had problems with the repairs of your car, the insurance companies like us a little bit more because, I mean, if the shop moves or if you move, you can actually go and get your car warranted at any location that's in your area.
But unlike Home Depot, if you need assistance, you can find someone to help you, right?
Yeah, there's someone at the checkout at least.
All right, and they're up at 86 Martin Ross, which is actually just a couple blocks from me. What's the phone number there, Derek?
It's 416-665-1427.
Okay, great. And you guys got all the latest in automotive body repair equipment?
Of course.
Yeah, and things are changing considerably. We're here to answer any and all of your automotive questions, of course. If you have a question for Mike or Derek or myself, you can call us at 416-360-0740. Again, 416-360-0740. Or if you're out of town or beyond the view of the beer store, which is through the window here, there's nobody lining up. Usually there's a big lineup in the morning.
Hey,
eh?
I was going to go get beer before we get on.
No, after, Mike.
Oh, after?
1-866-740-4740 is the toll-free number. So we will be back in a couple of minutes, and we will be ready to take your calls. We have a little bit of a technical hoo-ha this morning with our telephones, but I think we're going to get them straightened out. We have Oren Redinger at the helm, and he's going to get their phones working in just a second. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to run, and we will be back with your questions and more excitement here on Dave's Corner Garage with Derek, Mike, and Al. We'll be right back. All right, boys. It's car driving music, eh?
Is this what you play the music to, Al? This is,
I love this kind of music. And that's not what we play in our band.
No?
No.
I thought you guys just need the beard. You need to be all set.
Well, a couple of the guys have beards. As a matter of fact, one of the bearded fellas, his name is Sheldon. He's probably, you know, he's a regular listener.
Yeah.
Drives a Corvette.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for an older dude like myself, he's pretty cool.
Yeah. How many guys in the band?
It depends on which day we get together, you see. It's very flexible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's five of us, I guess.
Let's see.
Two guitars, a drummer, a keyboard, and a bass player. So how many is that?
Five.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. In fact, I told Sheldon to listen in today because he had said to me in the past, he says, you know, you guys are always talking about mechanical things and used cars and things like that, but you never had a body guy on because he wanted to get his car painted. And I'm not going to go into it because he may be trying to call in. We'll have to wait and see. Derek, he's going to have a really good question for you.
No problem.
Excellent. We've got Derek from Fix Auto Downsview up in 86 Martin Ross. And we talked earlier before the break about how things have changed, certainly on our side of the coin, Mike. You know, mechanically, you know, cars have been changing. They try to make them lighter. They try to make them more fuel efficient. They try to make them so that they don't pollute. How have they changed in the body world?
I mean, in the body shop world, a lot of things are like a lot of new materials, high-strength steel, aluminum parts. These are all new types of kinds of repairs where you just can't take a hammer and beat it out because, you know, aluminum will crack. You know, special steels like Baron, they're almost impenetrable to normal drill bits and stuff. And
all this
stuff really changes right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in other words, so how you straighten a body out, and then of course, even the kinds of stuff you use, like body fillers, are they different depending on what kind of material you use?
Oh yeah, I mean like filler. I mean a lot now for most repairs. I mean body filler is just something that we use to. I would say, like, imagine makeup. It's like a concealer, right?
Right.
It just hides scratches and nicks, and it gives you a nice flat area to apply your paint to.
Okay, well, before I go out tonight, I'm going to think about that, you know, before I put on my concealer.
I know you wear makeup sometimes, Al.
Well, I just like to enhance it. You know, I'm beautiful anyways, but... So you don't have a big gallon of Bondo anymore that you just sort of mix it up and throw it on and grind down?
No, it's definitely not like that anymore.
Okay, so... Now, there's a lot of plastics in the cars. Now, necessarily, for example, like the body, instead of being chrome or metal, is plastic. Can it be fixed, or do you have to change the whole thing whenever there's a damage to it?
I mean, you know, like you said, car manufacturers are using very new materials.
Right.
You know, not too long ago, most plastics were all repairable. But new companies like Ford and GM, they're using new kinds of plastics that can actually be welded back. And what we're doing nowadays is you're actually trying to staple them back together, actually inserting metal staples into bumpers and having them being repaired that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's a little more complicated, and the car manufacturers like to keep us on our toes. So, you know, it's always up to the challenge to get things repaired.
I'm imagining like a bumper looking like Frankenstein, with staples in it. Like,
how do you be on the inside?
So you must have some kind of filler or concealer.
It's always a concealer. It's a liquid plastic repair that we actually use. It's very simple. It's called a bumper plastic repair kit.
Okay.
And it's the same kind of thing. It's the same process where you melt the staple into the actual bumper, so it's not inside or outside. It's actually in the middle of it. And then they actually use the bumper repair kit to cover the impression of the actual staple.
Wow. So, you know, because things have changed, I mean, or changing so quickly... I mean, you guys must have to go for courses. Who offers them, and where do you take them?
I mean, most of the courses that we actually do take, or most of the, you know, the new technologies that come out, are actually coming from our jobbers and our suppliers. They want us to use their product, and they will train us on using their product. So, like I said, like a few years back when the plastic stapler actually came out, the technicians came out and they showed us, they used it in the shop, and they say, here, leave it with us for a month, we'll let us play with it. And it's one of the most, you know, invaluable tools. It's worth its weight in gold in our shop to have that stapler in there.
Well, this is where it's important that your staff has to be open, you know, has to want to learn this stuff. You know, for so many years, things were always done the same way, and guys are so... I mean, unfortunately, we have guys in our shop who's, when I ask them about going for refresher courses, they go, nah, buddy over there knows how to do it. I'll just ask him. I said, you know what, guys, you got to try to stay on top of things. You know, you can't just... you know, remain back in the olden days, because those old cars aren't around anymore. We just had a car in this week, Mike, that was an old Toyota pickup truck. The lady wanted to keep on the road, but the parts weren't available anymore. I mean, it couldn't buy a gas tank for a 1990, I guess it was an 86 or something.
That's a problem. Anything old now, like 10, not even 10 years, 5 years old, so a lot of the stuff you can't get anymore. They don't want you to fix them. They want you to buy a new car, you know, so it's depending on what's going on, but they're just tougher to fix. As these older cars, you can't even, they're discontinued parts, right?
So. Exactly. That's one way to make it so you can't fix them. You got to replace them. Well, all right. Well, it looks like my friend Sheldon was perhaps listening. I haven't got a last name, but it's Sheldon in Thornhill, and he's got a question about painting a car. Sheldon, buddy, is that you?
Yes, it is.
There he is. Sheldon, how's it going?
The drummer or the guitarist? Who's this guy?
This is the famous keyboard player.
Keyboard.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. He makes mellow music with the Ivories. Sheldon, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm one of the five, depending on the night.
There you go. All right, you got a question about bodywork.
Bodywork, painting. I want to repaint my Corvette, and I had a portion of it repainted at North York Chevrolet's when they were around.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of years, I noticed that the paint mismatched. And I was thinking, how do you know when it's time to repaint one? And how do you know what a good paint job is? And where do you get one in Toronto?
Great questions.
A lot of good questions there. In terms of paint mix matching, that's something that you're always going to get, no matter if it's a new paint or old paint. It's just the UV from the sun will discolor the car differently. And then depending on the quality of the material that the paint, I guess the repair shop is using, makes the biggest difference.
Well, let me stop you. So in other words, if you have one panel fixed, so that paint's going to be much newer than the old paint. So is that what you're saying? So they may match initially, but as time goes on, that's when they start to change color?
Yeah. Basically, okay. How I can put it is that imagine if we had different grades of material. If your clear coat or your top coat is a very, I guess, cheaper material, it'll discolor in yellow, and that's where you're actually going to get the color change. It's not so much that the base coat's going to change in color. It's going to be your clear coat. And that's what you pay for. The difference in cost for a high-quality clear coat is probably almost double or triple what you would normally pay. Most vehicles with like a tri-stage paint and a pearl actually have to use two or three stages of clear to actually attain that depth of color.
Now, question. Now, Sheldon's car is black. So now, Sheldon, you can't hide because I told everybody. Okay?
I'm not.
His car is black. Would that have a clear coat on it?
Depending on when it was painted, it might actually because or the shop that actually did the repairs or when Chev's did the repairs, they might have switched it up because we from time to time, like now in today's standards, we're actually moving away from the solvent or I guess oil-based paint that some people call it or like they refer it to. But now we're all using water-based paint. And with water-based paint, there's actually it's always now basically a base clear. With solvent, there was something called a single stage where the clear and the base were one together. What happens with that paint, actually, it dulls much quicker, and that's what people kind of notice, that the quality of the single stage is lesser than what you would get from a base clear.
So what you're saying is now if he gets his whole car painted at a good shop, it should last way longer.
Yeah, it will last way longer than your original paint job that you did probably got on the vehicle.
Sheldon, the second part of your question was how to find a good body shop, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I went back to the dealership thinking they would be best at matching the paint. Maybe that was incorrect thinking. I'm not sure. But I found that over time, a kind of maroon color, and I think it was probably mismatched, started showing up in the quarter panel when the light hits it a particular way.
Well, like you say right now, for example, you know, you're looking at a complete repaint. So,
what year Corvette is this?
2001.
Oh, wow. It's not that old at all. I mean, I look at it now, and you just kind of mentioned that. But in terms of the big misconception with paint and color matching and reproduction of colors, in the standard that even your GM, Chev dealer, or any dealer that you go with, let it be Honda, Mercedes, BMW, we're all using different large brands. Large brands like PPG, DuPont, Shirley and Williams, Spies, Heckers. There's a whole bunch out there, a list of them. And basically all the manufacturers take these color chips and they all reproduce the colors. Now, what makes the biggest difference? Well, I'm guessing if your Corvette is like a solid black, I mean, in terms of reproduction of the color, it's not going to be that difficult for any manufacturer, let it be PPG or DuPont or something, to have those colors reproduced. It won't be very difficult.
But the other part of this question, though, is you know, you're also depending on bodywork that needs to be done before. You're talking about a person, a repair guy, a technician who has to know how to use these products and apply them properly. How do you know you're not getting somebody who's getting paid flat rate, who wants to get it done as quick as you can, as opposed to someone who's taking the time to do a good job? Like, how do you know?
Yeah,
it is really hard. And you know what? You know, the proof's in the pudding. When you go in for probably an estimate and you look in their parking lot, look at just the cars or the repairs. I always ask. I mean, if you come down to our lot, you can just see all the cars being repaired right there in the driveway, and you can check which ones are or how they're being repaired or how well the color match is. I mean, I had a customer come in probably on Thursday, and they asked us, what are you doing with that M5? And I was just like, oh, we just painted some panels. And they're like, what did you paint? We painted, and he asked, you must have painted the front. And I was like, no, I didn't paint the front. And he's like, oh, well, then what would you paint? And I told him I actually had painted the door. And he's like, I couldn't tell. I mean, and that's what it is. Like when the customer comes in, you can show them that repair that looks absolutely seamless, and they would never be able to tell the difference between a factory fresh paint. It was a 2011 M5 that had a little parking lot ding.
That's a question I got for you. Is when somebody paints one panel, mm-hmm. if you're really good, you can see that, can't you? In a certain light, you can see that it was painted.
Well, if you're really good, you shouldn't be able to see it.
Well, I don't know. Actually, my Mercedes, I bought it, and I didn't realize it till about 6 months later that the back quarter was painted.
Okay. Right.
Because if you look close the odd time, and it took me almost 6 months to really see it.
Well, that's why you're a tranny guy.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not the body guy, okay?
If you were to,
no, you're not the body guy.
But is it... A body guy can more or less pick that out, can he?
Oh, I mean, anyone in the industry could probably, you know... Oh, are we going to commercial? Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry about that. But most people can, I mean, that are in the industry can pick out those things. But it's usually something that the average consumer would never even notice unless I pointed out. It's like buying an HD TV, be like, this is, you know, 1080p. If you show them something that's, you know, from one channel to another, they probably won't be able to know the difference of what's going on.
All right, Derek, we're going to have to take a break. Sheldon, thank you for calling in. I don't know if we informed you or confused you.
Well, no, you did.
Okay.
I just have one quick follow-up.
Well, you know what? Tell you what. If you want to hang on the line, we're going to take a break quickly, and we'll get back to you. All righty?
Okay.
All right, excellent. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. We've got Derek here from Fix Auto Downsview, and we've got Mike Arbeau, who's pretty lonely. We haven't talked much about trannies yet, but we will get to you, Mike.
Don't worry, they'll be falling out.
Don't you worry. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740, 416-360-0740. If you've got a car care question, we'll be back after these moments. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage, where we have advice on marital stuff. I mean, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life.
Listen to your wife.
There you go. Well, that was the voice, of course, the educated, experienced voice of Mike Arbeau from Precise Transmission. Mike, if people need tranny work, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can phone me.
At?
905-238-6770. I'm in Mississauga, Precise Transmission.
And you do that Facebook thing now, don't you?
A little bit with you, Al. You're my friend.
Well, and I like you. See, the like is that thumb picture,
right? Oh, yeah, I see that.
So you can like Precise, can you not?
But I think you like my wife more than me.
I'm just trying to do a little promotion here. So you can like Glen Allen Motors.
Yeah.
And I guess you could like Fix Auto Body, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Just before the break, we were talking to Sheldon up in Thornhill, who's got a black Corvette, and he was looking to get it painted. Sheldon, you had one more question.
I heard of this technique where they, instead of repainting the car, they'll strip off a layer of clear coat to rehabilitate the paint.
Well, I guess that's, how do I put it? Most of the time, if let's say I have a panel repair, what I'll do, and if I want a precise color match, what we'll have to do is we'll blend the other panels. In regards to just taking off the clear coat and re-clearing your entire vehicle, you know, is it worth it? I mean, for a little bit more for the initial cost, I probably would recommend you to just have the vehicle resprayed. Because in regards to actually doing a proper paint job, moldings, trims, lamps all have to come off in order to have a finish that's, you know, undetectable.
And right, and then that's where you get down to the technician or the guy doing it, the mm-hmm. you know, how good they are. What? So I guess, Sheldon, the best thing to do in this case is ask around. I mean, certainly in the mechanical end of things, like for any kind of service, ask your friends, see who they've used, who they've been happy with, and then go over to their place, as Derek said, and check it out. Let's see the kind of work that they've done, look at cars that they've finished, and see what they look like.
Well, I asked you, and you told me to call in.
Well, thanks for wasting our time. We got to run. Sheldon, have yourself a great weekend. Happy Father's Day, dude.
Thank you, bud.
All right, take care.
Bye.
That was the voice of Sheldon, and he's always asking.
One of the band members.
Yeah, well, he wanted to know about painting his Corvette, you know.
Yeah.
And what he had asked me prior was, you know, some guys wanted $2,000 and some guys wanted $10,000. Like, what's the difference? $8,000. Mm. But what am I getting? So this is where it's difficult.
Well, that's where he's got to determine, ask him exactly what the difference is. There's got to be something for the price, you would think, right?
All right, quickly. Yes, you would hope so.
Yeah.
You hope you get your money's worth. All right, we're going to go up to Sue, who's been hanging on the phone for an awful long time. Thank you very much, Sue, for hanging on. She's in Buckhorn. She's got a question about her Cavalier. What's going on, Sue?
Okay, I have a back door on a Chevy Cavalier that will not open. And when you click, you can hear it click, but it is not releasing.
So it won't open from either the inside or the outside?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't seem like a complex repair. Probably what you would have to do is probably bring it by a shop, and they could probably have the door open with you without using the handles at all. You know, like a jimmy stick or whatever it is.
Okay.
But,
so in other words,
in terms, I would think for the repairs of that, it's probably something like a loose rod that has popped out or a plastic clip that is broken that's made it unable for that door handle to function anymore.
And if the end you need to drill a hole in the door, well, you can just paint it again, I guess. So you think there is a way to go in with a jimmy or somehow to get it open?
Yeah, I mean, when we have cars that have broken door handles and stuff, there's still a way of getting into those vehicles.
Now, what year is your Cavalier, Sue?
2001.
I see. What I'm thinking is maybe that there's a whole lot of rust buildup inside.
Yeah.
We do see it a lot. I remember on the older cars that used to happen, especially the back doors, you don't use them all that much.
Right.
What you may want to try, first of all, is go down to the automotive supply place, get yourself a can of WD-40.
We did that.
Okay. And where did you spray it?
My husband did it. I don't know where he put it.
The can or where he sprayed it?
Where he sprayed it.
Well, maybe he did forgot, you know.
That could
well, you
be.
Told me to buy it. You didn't tell me to spray it anywhere. Yeah, what you need to do is put the little wand or that little straw on the actual jet or the nozzle, and you want to slip it in behind the rubber on the window and try to get to where the latch is, okay? You know, the latch is in the side of the door. You want to try to spray it in there. I would spray it a couple times, let it sit overnight. You may want to try to bang the door gently with your hand. Don't use a big hammer because then you'll have a dent and then you'll need a body shop. And then hopefully, you know, just moving the lock back and forth will eventually get it loose. So you could try that on your own. I mean, I know we had trouble.
So it is power locks, all right?
Yeah, it's like a
child. What you could try, too, is getting somebody on the outside, wiggling the handle at the same time as you're working the lock. And if it is something like that, it may free it up to open the door at least.
All right, Sue?
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome. Right. Good luck. And, I mean, if she had to go to a body shop, for example, to get it done, what would that normally cost, you know?
I wouldn't think it'd be more than an hour, so I'm thinking, you know, most shops range from $40 to $60. I think it's a quick repair.
Oh, there you go. And this is where it's important, you know, we talk about getting cars rust-proof periodically. And it's good to get them oil sprayed because there's a lot of things, for example, mechanisms inside the doors, the floor. We've got a Honda in our shop right now that the guy's going to be spending almost $1,000 just to fix brake lines and fuel lines because they're rusted. They've gone prematurely.
That's what happens when you don't undercoat them.
Mike, let's quickly go. We're talking about new and improved. You know, transmissions have changed, and I got one of these new kind of cars, and I'm not crazy about it. And, of course, I'm talking about CVTs or continually variable transmissions. understand that, professionally speaking, that you are also not a fan.
No, I don't like them at all. I don't like the way they work. A lot of them did pack it in. Like I said, Ford packed it in, GM packed it in.
So, in other words, these companies didn't, started using them.
They used them. They tried them. They didn't like them. It didn't work out. It cost them money, and they backed away from it. And the only one I think is going very strong is Nissan, and I think it's going to bite them. I don't think it's a great idea.
Well, almost every vehicle they have is a CVT transmission.
I know, and they gave a good warranty with like a 10-year warranty on a lot of them. But I don't know. I hear they're doing a lot of them under warranty, so...
A lot of repairs, you mean? A
lot of repairs on those transmissions, yes.
Well, the whole idea of the CVT tranny, though, was to try to save people fuel. I don't know if the tranny itself is lighter, but certainly the engine will run more economically of it.
Yeah, it's the way they designed it. They're hoping so. But if you're a heavy footer or something like that, I don't think it's any better on gas because I'm kind of a heavy footer, and when I step on them, the RPMs up there are way too high, and I don't like the way they work. So I don't think they're that great at all.
All right, well, we're quickly going to go to... talk to David in Mississauga now. He's got a suspension issue, I'm thinking. David, how are you? Hello, David?
No, no, Joseph.
Joseph. Okay, sir, what's your question?
I have a cracked suspension.
Okay, what kind of car is it?
Nissan Maxima.
Okay.
96.
Okay. Is it because it's rusted through?
I don't know. The mechanic told me it's cracked.
Okay. Now, where are we talking? In the front, the back?
The rear.
In the rear. Okay.
The A-arm or up top where the tower is, I wonder?
Did he specifically show you where the damage was or how it was broken?
No.
And did he say it was repairable or did he suggest you get rid of the car?
Well, I'm thinking of getting rid of the car. But the question is, if it breaks...
Yes.
Can I still drive the car?
No.
Well, unfortunately, we can't see it. We don't have it in front of us, and you can't provide us enough information. I'd probably say not. Go ahead, Derek.
Sorry. I was going to say, you said a 1996 Nissan Maxima?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of problems or issues with those vehicles in the rear strut towers that they rust out, and the strut can either fall through. And they also, Nissan has a little bit of issues with the rust of the springs and them breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Driving with a broken spring is a bad idea. Driving with a bad strut tower is even probably more dangerous, because what will happen is that strut in the back or the suspension spring in the back will actually come through the body of the vehicle. Other manufacturers that have that problem are like Dodge with the front strut towers.
Yes.
They do that same problem as well. In terms of easy or cost-effective repairs, it isn't. It's usually intensive and...
So the question is, if Joseph's driving the car because he doesn't want to spend the money, or he just may take him a little while, if it finally breaks through, will it be unsafe to the point where the car is going to cause an accident, or just?
Yeah, I mean, you could possibly imagine if you're just going around 60 on a normal street and mm-hmm. the rear suspension drops on you, you're going to lose a lot of control on that.
So yeah, you won't have any. Again, the wheel's going to be flopping around in the back.
Well, sometimes it could hit the tire, damage
exactly.
the tire, blow the tire out. Sometimes a spring goes through the tire.
Oh, yeah. So, Joseph, it's going to be a case of you're going to have to get rid of this car very soon.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, organization can donate the car too.
Sorry, one more time, and I didn't get that.
I said donate the car to some sort of.
Oh, he wants to donate the car.
Yeah. I think the Kidney Society offers money for that. There was also the Ministry of the Environment was also doing something.
Yeah, that was the Cash for Clunkers program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not actually familiar if it's still going on at the moment, but is another good option. Wherever you're living, check with the local schools to see if they need any cars for the high schools for kids to learn
apart.
Rip apart and figure out. That's always a good option as well. Or you can call your local auto recycler.
Mm-hmm.
They can usually pick up the cars at no cost for you as well.
All right, Joseph?
I didn't hear what they said.
I said you could either try like a high school or a local auto recycler in your area to have the vehicle
local.
Picked up.
Okay, we got around, Joseph. Thank you and good luck. And get rid of it soon, because I don't want to see it breaking. As a matter of fact, we talked about other suspension pieces breaking. We had a Taurus in this week where the lady was just driving down the street, and all of a sudden she heard banging and pshhh. Guess what? Front spring broke.
Went through the tire.
Yeah, and it could be very, very dangerous, so you can't be doing it. So if your mechanic or your auto body guy or your tranny guy says, your car is in need of repairs soon, please take it to heart. either let them fix it, or you better plan on getting rid of it, because these things can be very bad. If there's something like the spring situation, when it breaks, it can be dangerous, and you don't want to be on the highway. I've had my own car break big time, and thankfully nothing happened, except for getting red in the face. I was quite embarrassed. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. If you've got a question, give us a call, 416-360-0740. Or if you're out of town, it's 1-866-740-4740. We're doing mechanical things. We're doing body things. You got any kind of question, give us a call right now. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740.
Hard tops in Halton and pickups in Peterborough. Put it on the hoist in Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740. To reach Dave and Alan with your car question, call 416-360-0740 or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
I wonder if Sheldon's still listening. He could do this song.
He could do this song?
Yeah, for sure.
I
want to
hear
do
you
this
guys
song.
Play one time, Al. When's
well,
the
well,
concert?
You know what? I did have a CD here with some of our tunes on it, but we don't do a lot of live performances. But
that kind
of
scares me then, Al.
We're still practicing. It takes many years to get it right.
I think you're drinking more beer than actually practicing, ain't you?
You've been to one of our practices, I understand. This is Dave's Corner Garage here on the new AM 740. Dave is away, and the other Dave is away. They're both cruising. One is cruising on the water, and the other one is cruising over asphalt. Dave went down to Texas.
He's cruising in the big Cadillac.
I don't know. He's got that one with the big horns
on
the front.
Yeah, the horns on his cowboy
Yeehaw!
Hat.
I'm sure he's gone with his lovely wife. And they've taken a few days off, which is always nice. I'm looking forward to a holiday one of these days. Mike, and you just came back?
Yeah.
You were in?
All the way from Italy.
And you were surprised by the way people drive, the size of cars.
Yeah. What,
yeah, pretty crazy there, eh?
Mopeds, everything all around. Yeah, they do drive pretty crazy. No,
they don't, yeah, almost like the bicyclists here. They don't realize or adhere to the rules of the road.
They're on both sides of you. You don't know which way to look because the mopeds are on the left, they're on the right, they're in front, they're in behind, they're all around you.
Really? I remember when I was there a couple of years ago noticing how many small cars there were and then cars that we don't even get here. I mean, yeah. Tiny things, urban cars. Because then again, the streets are so small. They don't have much choice.
No room at all on those streets.
All right, and we've got Derek here from Fix Auto Downsview. We had a lot of interesting questions about body work and how things have changed over the years. They're using aluminum and different steels and plastics, and they are repairable, but you got to go to good body shop, ask your friends to find, you know, ask around to find out who's keeping up on the latest stuff, and that way it'll get fixed properly. And we're going to go back to the phones now. Stanley in Toronto's got a question about his transmission, I think. Stan, what's going on?
Hey, thanks a lot. I love the show, guys.
Thank you.
Had a little trouble. I didn't hear you give the number, so I was Googling like crazy to get the call-in number, so I did find it.
Okay, great.
So I've got a question. It's generic, but I just I have a 2012 Dodge Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. It's just turned a year. I got 54,000 kilometers on it. Don't do much driving. I changed the transmission fluid at 48,000 because when I took it in, the guy showed it to me and he said, you need to change it because it looked dirty. I'm from the old school. I was taught if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I want to know what the advice is on a servicing transmission, changing the fluids.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody wants to do an engine oil change, but they don't think of the transmission. It's fluid. It's still, you get metal in it, it breaks down, you get the heat, the cold. I mean, yes, it definitely has to be done. If, you know, 40 to 60,000, I would recommend doing it for sure.
It's good insurance. I mean,
you got 40,000 on an 012 already?
I got 54,000.
Holy God.
You're driving awful lot.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped leasing, because it was costing me too much money. The other, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So it's basically every 40 to 50,000 kilometers?
Yes, I would recommend it, yes.
Okay, great. And the other question I have is the first and only problem I had this week was the electronic panel over the radio, which is my air conditioning panel and the radio and so on, went dead on me. I just picked the car back up from the dealer this morning. They changed it under warranty.
That's good.
Is that something that's been happening in these vehicles, do you know?
I can't say specific to Journeys, but, you know, you talk about generic. Yeah, I mean, lots of vehicles with electronic panels. I mean, been happening. Guys, remember the Volvos, the Saabs? They used to go dead all the time. So it does happen, unfortunately. In a lot of cases, the computer board, the circuit boards are made by computers. They're not done by hand. They're done by robots. And, you know, sometimes the solder joints are bad and things go. The only thing I can tell you, though, is to look around. There are guys out there that will repair these things, okay, rather than have to change them. Because the theory was in the past that you always had to just buy a new board or buy a new computer. But there are people out there that have made a business out of fixing these things.
Yeah, modules, headlight modules, all this, they rebuild them, yeah.
So, yeah.
Because the dealer, I mean, it's still under warranty. And, of course, they just told me it's easier to change it. But my concern is with the amount of driving I do when the warranty's up, you know, I was thinking, should I buy an additional warranty, or if you say they're repairable, then maybe I should just, you know, just go with that.
Well, again, you know, depending on the mileage you're going to do, I mean, to buy an extended warranty, I don't think is a bad idea. I mean, because, you know, there is so much in the way electronics and things on the car that do fail. They don't build them like they used to.
But you got
to
make sure you buy a good warranty company, because
exactly.
Some of them are out there kind of shaky, right?
So you got to make sure that you read the policy. You got to find out what they're going to cover, what your indebtedness is, okay? I mean, some of them, you have to take the car in religiously and have it, you know, the car maintained. They're going to want to see receipts. Sometimes you have to mail in the receipts. It gets pretty crazy. So do a little bit of homework before you buy the policy. And again, because of the driving you're doing, I don't know if there's going to be a mileage cap on it, because they may say, well, hang on, you're driving too much. So
yeah,
check it out.
I'll probably trade it next year. You know.
That is the other alternative.
That'll have about 150 on it by then.
All right, Stan, good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. All right, Diane is out there in Alliston, and her car won't start. Diane, you're driving a Cadillac. How come it won't go?
Well, actually, it does. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
My Cadillac, it's a 2000 Cadillac Catera.
Mm-hmm.
I have 142,000 kilometers on it, And it does. I get in my car and I drive to work every day.
Uh-huh.
And when I get out of work, 8 hours later, it drives home. But if I come home, pick up my gym bag, and go off to the gym, 2.5 hours later, I come out to start my vehicle and it won't start.
Okay, you're talking about, let me just explain quickly, that's what's called a hot soak situation. Okay. What's happening is your engine and car is warming up, and then you're parking it with the hood closed, and it sits there, and everything under the hood gets hotter and hotter and mm-hmm. hotter. You know, you may be looking at some kind of module that's being affected by the temperature. Could be fuel pump module. I'm not sure.
First of all, we got to ask if it's turning over at that point. I guess it is.
Good question. Okay, when you go to try it 2 hours later, what happens? Does it crank?
It turns over.
Okay, it just doesn't fire.
Yeah, it doesn't fire. And
well, let me explain this to Mike. Mike, so it goes rrr, 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 but it doesn't go vroom. Okay, there we go. I just had to explain it. He's a tranny guy, you know? His mom told me. She dropped him on his head a couple times when he was a baby, and this is what's happened. So it does crank but won't fire. What you're going to have to find out, or your technician's going to have to find out, is what you're missing. Are you missing spark? Are you missing fuel? It's going to be one of the two, because you need either one of those to make it happen.
Well, I have gone into our local garage where my husband and I, you know, take our vehicles.
Uh-huh.
My husband maintains our vehicles very well.
Okay.
And our mechanic said that he can't really test it until it doesn't start. So we've had it there sitting for 45 minutes and it didn't. I have one question for you.
Sure.
With me using my cruise control, because sometimes I'll drive, I work in different spots and I'll drive 45 minutes to work.
Mm-hmm.
So after 8 hours it'll start, but then I put on cruise, I cruise home, I'll go to the gym, and then 2 hours later it won't start.
No, cruising has nothing to do with it.
15 minutes later and 5 minutes later.
It's because something is heating up there. Okay. But, I mean, I think if you explain this scenario to your technician, to your mechanic, say, this is exactly... Because as soon as you started talking about it, I knew right away...
That it was. Well, he told us a hot spot, too, because he didn't think it was fuel...
Pressure.
Yeah, because he said it should happen more often.
Okay, what he has to do is put on a spark tester, put on a fuel tester, fuel pressure gauge, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then shut the car off. So that way, when he goes to try to start it 2 hours later, specifically, he's going to just turn the key, and he'll have to look at his fuel pressure gauge to see if, in fact, you know, there is fuel pressure there immediately, okay,
mm-hmm.
or whether you're missing the spark. So that's going to be the best way to do it.
Okay.
Alrighty?
Alrighty.
Thanks. All right,
so
good
much,
luck.
Fellas. All right, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye-bye. Well, I guess you guys don't see this all that much, really, the intermittent problem, eh?
Well, and that's how you got to determine exactly how you set it, right?
Exactly, exactly. You know, either car comes in and it's dented and rusted or it's not. You know, it's not sometimes, mm-hmm. but always something interesting here in the under the hood here in the garage at Queen and River. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. Just got a couple of minutes left. If you got a question, give us a call, 416-360-0740. We'll be back with more merriment in just a moment.
Calling Wheels from Whitby and Roadster from Richmond Hill. Dave's Corner Garage is open for business on Zoomer Radio AM 740. Got a question for Dave or Alan? Call them at 416-360-0740 or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
All right, we're getting a little mellow here in the down in the vault here at AM 740. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. We've got Derek from Fix Auto Body down to you. And I got Mike from Precise Transmissions. We've got a couple of callers quickly. We're going to try to get to them. Brian and Milton, a question about painting his Honda. What's going on, Brian?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Great, thank you.
Great show.
Thank you.
I got a 2001 Honda Prelude. It's black. It's in pretty good shape. I've had the crown rust-proofing on it for a couple of years now.
Good.
But I took it into a shop. It's a pretty good reputation. It's got a little bit of rust going on the front lip of the bumper. Small dent in the passenger side panel. Somebody hit me and left. But I've been quoted $2,500. And I don't know, should I bring it in for an audit, put it up in the hoist, take a look at it? It's got over 200,000 clicks on it.
So your question is it worth spending $2,500 on the car?
Yep.
Well, certainly the audit, as you mentioned, yeah, we talk about that because before you invest that money, you want to know, is the car worth that kind of money? Because you know yourself, $2,500 may be all that car is actually worth. So if the $2,500, which is what the body shop wants, will take care of everything and your car is going to be in great shape, then why not? You know, that would be worth it. So you're only looking at about an hour's labor to check it out, find out if you need brakes, ball joints, all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know if the body shop could necessarily do that, but Derek, wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Before you want to invest that kind of money into the vehicle that you're claiming for.
Is that a reasonable estimate for...
From what you described, I would probably get a couple estimates. I would find out what is, you know, reasonable, because if you got only one estimate from, you know, one person... Try around, shop around. It's just like your, you know, anything else, your car insurance, a television purchase, anything large like that, you want to shop around.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, of course, if your car is mobile, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, Alan, you guys keep saying these Hondas run forever, right? And I think that's what I'm expecting. You know, it's a great car, handles really well.
Well, I'm glad to hear you rust-proofed it, because I've got a car in the shop right now that unfortunately had never been prepared with any kind of rust preventative stuff at all. And it's the same as yours. It happens to be a two-door Accord. And the front piece of the frame rusted right through because, again, there was nothing to protect it from the rust. And it finally rotted away. Now, in this case, this fellow is looking at about $3,000 worth of repair work, which I tried to talk him out of, but he wanted to do it. So, Brian, good luck. Get the audit done, and then you can make the proper decision.
All right, thank you.
All right, I guess you can all hear the music. That means it's time to giddy up.
The hour's gone already.
Giddy up. Mike, thank you very much for coming down. Precise Transmission, where's your store?
We are at the new location, actually, 1246 Amco Boulevard in Mississauga.
Website is
Precise Transmission.
What's the nearest intersection?
Dixie and Eglinton or Dixie and 401, I'm close to.
And you fix all kinds of automatic transmissions.
I fix anything.
There you go. You got a tranny problem? Mike's a great guy. I've known him for years, and he's honest and he does a good job. Derek?
We're at 86 Martin Ross Avenue. That's at North York, Dufferin and Finch area. Our number was 416-665-1427. If you guys have any questions, you're always free to call, and we'll have free estimates for anyone that usually comes in.
Excellent. Free estimates. How can you go wrong? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. I want to thank Nada, and I want to thank Oren for filling in. We got to run. We'll see you next week. Make sure to stay tuned to Frank. He's going to be next here on the new AM 740. Bye, everyone.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.